Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Glad to be back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
We skipped a little week last week because we had some things going on, and I was still sort of jet-lagged when it was time for us to record last week, so we skipped a week, but we are back, and we're glad to be back.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. What are we doing, Steph?
We are on the series called Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel. So right now we're answering the question, what keeps you from sharing your faith?
Yeah. So we're talking through reasons that people don't share the gospel, reasons that we, you know, I don't want to say people, like me and you got it all figured out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't.
So reasons why we don't share as people, why we don't share our faith, why we don't share the gospel. And we've been talking through that. This is only the third one, right?
Yeah, we'll start episode 219.
Episode 219. We'll do number three today. And so if you look back, we're sort of going through and coming up. I ran across an interesting survey, which is what prompted this. I'm also teaching on this right now, which does not happen hardly ever on the podcast. So I don't know if we've ever had an episode series where we were talking through content that's related to what we're teaching. Now, it's not the same sermons or anything like that. Like this is, but if you paired them up together, this podcast series would really help with what we're teaching right now from stage and preaching, the preaching series. And also, the preaching series would help, too, with the podcast, right? So if you're listening to this, you might want to go check those messages. But I think this might be the first time we've ever done that. It just happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to give God the credit because we didn't plan it very well.
I definitely didn't plan it.
We didn't plan it at all. It just happened that way. So it's actually cool. So I have been thinking about studying about this a lot recently. And I ran across a study. So what prompted this particular series, and we talked about this in episode one of the series, which would have been 217. There we go. I ran across a survey that the people who did the Jesus Film Project made where they questioned and asked people, surveyed people about why they don't share their faith. And I thought the findings were interesting. And I also thought that they were very similar to things that I have experienced personally, but also things I've seen as a pastor that the reasons that people give of why they don't share their faith. So the first week we talked about the fact that the biggest thing that keeps people from sharing their faith, and the survey showed this, most people end up saying that they're afraid, that fear does.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first episode, we talked through that, how to get past that fear hurdle and why we've got to kind of not let fear trip us up in sharing the gospel and living out our faith. And then in the next episode, we talked about number two was people don't share their faith because they don't have opportunities to do so. And so we sort of, well, kindly negated that standpoint, how that's probably not accurate, that you don't have opportunities to do so. And so how to see and find those opportunities and also how to pray for those opportunities, right? So this today is number three in the series. I'm really excited about this one because I'm a little fired up about it. So there's going to be a little bit of a rant on one part of this answer. But today in 219, we're doing number three, reasons we don't share our faith. And what is that one, Steph?
I don't feel equipped to share my faith.
All right. This is the people saying, all right, I don't share the gospel. I don't share Jesus. I don't try to make disciples because I don't feel equipped. A lot of people say that they don't feel equipped to share their faith. And I think this is interesting, right? So what do you mean? What do you really mean when you're saying you don't feel equipped? What I have seen and experienced is that many people, when they say they don't feel equipped, they are worried about not being able to answer questions that come up, not having a depth of knowledge to be able to answer questions and not knowing the answer to those things, right? So they're going to share something about Jesus and somebody's going to go, well, what about this? Or what about this? Or why does the Bible say this? Or why does this exist? Or the big question, right? What if you're sharing your faith with somebody who is really jaded, right? They're hurt by recent things in their life and like we all get, and they're struggling with that big question. The big question is it's called the question of evil, is what C.S. Lewis titled it as, is if God is good, then why do bad things happen to good people, right? And so you're fearful that you're not going to have a base knowledge to answer those things, or you don't feel very secure in The reason you don't feel equipped is you don't feel secure in your biblical knowledge, and you feel like you should be more trained in those things, right? Maybe not just trained. You should be trained in how to answer certain questions. You should be trained in some sort of evangelistic way to share your faith, or you should be more biblically literate and trained to be able to answer those questions or to be able to show people certain verses and all those kind of things. I think that's what people kind of mean when they say, I don't feel equipped to share my faith. I do run into this a lot. There are lots of people who have submitted their life to Jesus. They love Jesus, but they don't feel very strong about sharing their faith because they feel very weak in it. They don't feel like they have the background, the knowledge, right? The, you know, and then also that the little stuff like you and I just were talking about it off air, but, you know, they feel like they don't have the right personality to do it. And, you know, they're not the person to get up in front of people and talk this way, or they're not real bubbly, or they don't feel like they're a very convincing person, right? And so all that comes back to not feeling like you're equipped. Or I think a better way to say equipped is you don't feel like you have the right tools, or your tools are not mature enough to be able to do this. I got two thoughts on this, okay? So that's what people are kind of saying. And maybe if you're listening today, you felt this too. I think everybody's felt this at some point in time. I mean, there are times where I've gone into things and going, I don't know if I feel equally equipped to answer these questions, right? Or to, you know what I mean? So I got two big thoughts on this. So first thought I have is when people in the church, when Christ followers feel like they are not equipped, I take that really seriously because when I say we, leadership, the actual main call on leadership is to equip, right? That's the main call. The main call on the pastor's life is to shepherd the people and to equip the saints for ministry. And that's not something you make up. That's something that you get directly from Scripture. Ephesians 4 says this to us. Steph, read 11 through 13 for us.
Okay. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Yeah, so this is a big deal, right? So Paul just said that, and in some of your translations, the word gift is here, right? He says that this is a gift that Jesus has given to the church. So if you are somebody in the church and you are not in leadership, listen up. That God has given you a gift, and that gift is your pastor, your evangelist, your prophets. We'll just say leadership in church. He's given you a gift. And that gift, and this is why I take this so personally, because I'm a pastor. That gift is so that the leadership can equip you for all the ministry in the church, right? That's a big deal. So our job then is to be able to give you the tools and help you figure out who you are and all those things to be able to do every bit of the work of the ministry in the church, right? So I take this thing personally when I hear people say, I don't share my faith because I don't feel equipped, because the job of the pastor, the job of leadership, right? And I don't just mean top-level leadership. I think you can take that text and also refer to other leadership. So like your small group leader, right? Mm-hmm. That God has given you the gift of your small group. And a small group leader's job is not just to lead a Bible study, but it's also to equip the saints, right? Equip Christ's followers, equip the church for ministry. So if people aren't sharing because they don't feel equipped, well, that's where the church comes in, because that's what we're supposed to do to begin with. So we got to make sure that we are equipping people to do, you know, the work of sharing the gospel. This is my first thing. I'm gonna rant a little bit at the end on my second thing, right? I'm being kind on my first thing. So when I hear, you know, that, I realize, well, then we got a problem. Leadership has a problem. Church leadership has a problem, right? Because if people feel unequipped, then are we actually equipping them, right? More than one time, Jesus sends his disciples out to share the good news with people in surrounding villages and stuff. And so he preparing his followers to do this work of evangelism was a real high priority for him. He's constantly developing and teaching, and we're going to use the word equipping, giving them the tools that they need to do this work, right? Like, he knows that eventually, and when we say eventually, we only mean in a very short period of time. He knows, like, within a year or so, that he is going to give them the Great Commission – and ascend on into heaven and send them out into the world to be his witnesses, right? So in the amount of time that he's there, he is preparing and getting them ready. He's equipping them to be able to do this work in this ministry, right? And so the parallel is that he is still doing that now, and pastors are, and leaders are supposed to be doing the same thing, right? We're supposed to be equipping the saints to go out and be witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. All throughout the land, and do all this work of the ministry. But it also means he's encouraging and preparing them to trust God and to step out in faith. So we're given tools, but we're also kind of training people to be able to, hey, look, sometimes you've got to step out in faith, because ultimately God loves to use imperfect efforts. And it's through practice that we learn and grow in our confidence anyway, right?
So you're right.
So part of equipping is you see Jesus developing them and sending them out to prepare them. Then you also see them encouraging them to just step out and try, even if you fail, because you got to step out to really to figure this thing out and build that confidence in it. And so that's part of equipping too. So we see Jesus doing this. So in other words, that's the church's job. If you are a Christ follower, there are works that he has for you to do. And I'm not just making this up. I mean this for every single person that stands in Christ. There's works for you to do. And so the church, I'll show you in the Bible in a second, but the church is supposed to be helping you figure out how to do that. And you do it that two ways. Like I said, you get tools, you get training, you get biblical knowledge, you get all these things. But then you also get encouragement just to try. Right? You get pushed to, you are the one that's a witness. The Great Commission is for you individually, right? And you've got to be a person who shares your faith. I said this Sunday, and then I had to end up randomly, I didn't even set this up, I had to randomly teach it on it in youth that night too, that was completely separate and disconnected from John chapter 15, when Jesus says that you will bear much fruit, thereby proving that you are my disciples. In other words, the way that we show and prove that we are actually a disciple of Jesus is by making other disciples. So it's not a question of whether or not you have to or should share your faith. You should. And so the church is supposed to be equipping you to share your faith, right? Mm-hmm. So I take this thing seriously, because what this means is that the church has done a bad job, or the church has not paid a lot of attention to how are we helping people have tools and be equipped to share our faith, because that's what we see Jesus doing with people. And every single person who stands in Christ has good works that Christ already has them to do individually, right? If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, I know a minute ago we read 4, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do," right? So handiwork is it's probably the worst translation of the word that's there. The word that's there in that text is the Greek word poema. It's where we get the word poem from. A better translation is masterpiece, right? And so each individual person who stands in Christ, because you've been bought by Christ, you are God's absolute masterpiece, right? And so if his only begotten perfect son is his masterpiece, and you and I stand redeemed in Jesus, you and I are his masterpiece as well. And because we stand in Jesus, he has prepared and created in advance ways in which you and I will do these good works, ways in which you and I will bear this fruit, people that you and I are going to reach, right? You. So you got to be equipped to do those things, and you got to be encouraged to just try as well. And that's the church's job, right? The church's job, you have a gift in your life. The gift in your life is your pastor, your evangelist, your prophet, your leader, your teacher, right? And those people are leading you, and they are to equip you into doing this work of the ministry. So I take this thing really, really seriously, right? Because there are good works that you've been made to do, and we need to help equip you to do that. So if you're listening to this, whatever church you go to, the church needs to be equipping you to do the ministry, right? It doesn't mean necessarily some formalized class, right, that teaches you to share your faith, but it's giving you opportunities to learn it, to see it, to grow in it, to walk beside somebody, to serve the underserved in your community, right? Those kind of things are equipping you to do the work of the ministry. So I take that part really seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my long way to say, if you don't feel equipped, well, the church has failed you in some way because we need to equip you. There's the first one. Here's my second one. This also irritates me. This statement of, I don't feel equipped to share my faith, and that's the reason that I don't share the gospel. The reason that I don't share the thing that I say means more to me than anything else in the world. The reason I don't share it is I don't feel equipped. I don't feel like I have the tools to share it. That gets on my nerves. And there's two reasons. The first reason is, yes, it is the job of the pastor to equip you, but equip yourself, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't just rely on somebody else to teach you these things. Equip yourself to do it as well, right? Like, when people say things like, well, I don't know, I just don't get fed when I go to church. That stuff that gets on my nerves.
Yeah, that annoys
right?
me.
It gets on my nerves. You know why? Because last time I checked, we grown people, and you need to belly up to the table of the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and you need to feed yourself.
True.
Too, right? And so, yes, I started off with the nice and said, yes, the church's job is to equip you. But secondly, it really gets on my nerves because you need to equip yourself. There's no question that you individually are called to share your faith. You say it's the thing that matters most to you in the world, right? Mm. And so therefore, you should be trying to figure out how you can share your faith individually too, even if you're not being equipped. And I would say in addition to the church equipping you, right? Like the church should be equipping you, yes. And so any way that they are doing that, you got to equip yourself too. And any way that they are failing in that, you got to equip yourself too. You know what I mean?
Like, you're right.
That's why it gets on my nerves a little bit, because I think it's a very cop-out kind of answer, right? Like the first one that we said, fear, not a cop-out answer, real.
Yes.
And you got to figure out how to conquer that fear repeatedly over and over and over and over again, right? The second one we did, number two, was I don't have opportunities to do so. Cop-out answer, right? Maybe you are in a situation where you don't have any opportunities, but I think you're just not looking at them, right? Looking at them correctly, at least. This one, I don't feel equipped. Yes, the church's job is to equip, but this is a little bit of a cop-out answer too, right? Like, equip yourself. What's stopping you individually from saying, how do I become somebody who can share my testimony? What's stopping you individually from figuring out, all right, what scriptures would I like to know well and store in my heart that I can bring up in a conversation, right? What is stopping you from, if you feel like you don't have the biblical knowledge, what's stopping you from studying your Bible, right? Like, you're just going to blame it on church leadership and not being equipped, or are you going to actually study your Bible? I mean, speaking from a pastor's perspective, like, for example, like, on Sunday mornings, guess how many people bring their Bible with them to church? About 10%. You know what I mean? About 10%. Now, I know everybody uses the Bible on the phone now, so I'll give you that. So let's just knock that number up to 40 or 50%. But how much Bible studying and reading are you doing to equip yourself to share the gospel outside of whatever scripture your pastor's teaching you on, right? Or outside of whatever scripture you're doing in your small group, right? What else are you doing to equip yourself, right? That's why this gets on my nerves. And here's another reason why it gets on my nerves. How hard is it, really, to just share your story? How hard is that? Like, how hard is it, really, just to share the hope that you have found in Jesus and how you found that hope? How hard is it to really say, this is who I was before Jesus. I ain't got it fully figured out, but this is who I am now in Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, I used to be this person who was mad and angry all the time. I met Jesus. Now I'm not as mad and angry all the time. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
How hard is it to share that? You know, so I know you can, yes, the church should equip you, but how hard is it really for you to share your own story? How hard is it for you to share your own testimony? Like, if you were in a burning building and you had no way out, you were going to die, it was going to be game over, and all of a sudden, a fireman bursts in, grabs you, and takes you out. How hard is it to look at the other person who's stuck in the burning building and point to the fireman and say, he got me out? You know what I mean? Like, how hard is that?
Right.
How hard is it to go, you know, to articulate your story of, you know, I was lost in my sin. I was trapped by these things. I had no hope, right? I didn't know what real life was. You know, I can grow up in a good family. I didn't have a good view of the Father or whatever it is. But then this fireman came in and got me. His name's Jesus. You know what I mean? He rescued me. And so I'm just trying to point you to the one that rescued me. Like, mm-hmm. you ain't got to know. Let's just go back to the burning building illustration. You don't have to know anything about the fireman to be able to point people to the fireman. You know what I mean? Like, and so maybe your knowledge of Jesus is not what it ought to be. Neither is mine, right?
I mean, yeah.
Right? None of us have that full knowledge. We won't have it until, you know, we're always growing in that, right? Every follower of Jesus always has a next step to take. None of us have arrived. You know what I mean? And so maybe your knowledge of him is not great, but all you got to do is point to him. You know what I mean? You ain't got to have the answer to every single question, right?
I like
that. You don't have to have knowledge. You just got to, like, so what do you have to know about the fireman to point him out to somebody else? All you got to know is that he rescued me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just point, hey, go to him because he rescued me. He can rescue you too. That's the thought. I mean, how hard is it really to share your story with someone? Evangelism is not this complicated thing. It is not super difficult. While I like all those tools, you don't necessarily have to have them. Sometimes the tools get in the way, right? It is not this complicated thing. It is not something that is exclusive to people who have great personalities and extroverts, right? Because I see another excuse that goes along with this is people are like, oh, I'm an introvert. Well, guess what? So am I. So am I. I am 150% introvert. Every single personality assessment I take, it screams introvert, 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 introvert. And yet here I am in front of people every single Sunday, all the time,
and then
just during the week, right? Teaching, you know, sharing the gospel. And not just in front of people on the stage, but in little personal settings and one-on-one meetings and stuff all the time. When I go home at night, I am spent. And it ain't because I'm working hard in a factory or digging ditches or, you know, manual jobs that people have that work hard. I'm spent emotionally and mentally. And what I want to do is I want to be completely by myself because I'm drained. It's not in my personality either. But you can't be looking in your personality. You got to be looking in your calling, right?
Woo.
Calling trumps personality.
Mm-hmm.
Calling is Jesus told me to do this, right? He called me to do this. And so I don't get to give the excuse of my personality, right? And I also, then let's take this further. My personality is an excuse and it's not a detriment. It's actually a benefit. I just got to figure it out because he's made me the way he's made me. He's wired me how he's wired me. And he's also called me how he's called me, which means he thinks that whatever personality traits I bring to the table are good for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are good for this. I had to wrestle with this during COVID, Steph.
Wow.
During COVID, this was my thought. COVID hits and I'm like, oh my God, I am not the right person to lead the church during this. I can't do this. And I felt this overwhelming thing. I don't even know how to describe it. From the Holy Spirit, and then I heard it from other people too, was God knew that this was going to happen and God knew who was going to be leading when it happened. So for whatever reason he's decided, you, your gifts, your talents, your personality is what he's picked to bring to the table at that season and in that group of people, right? So you can't, your personality is not an excuse. It's actually, you got to see that the calling that he gives you, he has included your personality in the calling, right? So this is not something where you go, you know, let me overcomplicate evangelism, and you got to be the person who's able to talk real well and be real eloquent in how you speak. You know, my favorite scripture from Paul is hanging in my office, and I read it every single week, and it talks about that I did not come with eloquent language, right? I just come preaching that Jesus did something, right?
Yeah.
That he was born, that he died, he rose again for me. It wasn't with eloquent language. It was just me. Basically, what Paul's saying there is, it wasn't me and my personality. It wasn't me being perfectly sharing in a perfect right way. It was just me sharing my story in Jesus. That's what he's saying. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying. And so evangelism is not this complicated, difficult thing. And so while, yes, I believe that the church ought to equip you, and I think that you ought to equip yourself, I also think that you saying you're not sharing your faith because you're not equipped is an excuse. Because he has called you to do this. The Great Commission is for you. You have been called to go and make disciples. You have been called to share your faith. You have been called by Jesus specifically. Go read all of John chapter 15. You have been called to bear much fruit. Mm-hmm. Jesus's intention for every single person who follows him is to be very fruitful, right? And he's made you. You're his masterpiece, his handiwork. So he wants to use all these different pieces of your personality anyway. And all you really got to do is just live for Jesus and speak about him. That's really all you got to do. In your style, in the way you do it, in your language, mm-hmm. with what you know, with the knowledge that you have, with your personality. And believe that he will put you around people that need to hear it through you. You know what I mean? Through you.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, that's one of the greatest benefits about planting a church in your hometown is that these are my people.
Mm-hmm.
We speak the same language. You know what I mean? Like, we're cut from the same cloth. And that is a benefit to reaching the people that he's called me to reach. You know what I mean? Like, evangelism is not this difficult thing. We've been sharing this quote for the last couple weeks. I think it is the best quote on evangelism that I have ever read. And it uncomplicates it incredibly. And it comes from this Christian evangelist who's from Sri Lanka, of all places, right? Most people don't even know where Sri Lanka is on the map, much less know anybody from Sri Lanka or any famous person from Sri Lanka. And this evangelist from Sri Lanka, D.T. Niles, says, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all it is. It's just one I'll reword it like I said a minute ago. Evangelism is just one person who was rescued from a burning building telling somebody else who's trapped in the burning building how they got out. That's all it is.
Oh, that's right? Good. Man.
That's all it is. The church does not need, while we should, hear me say this, while we should equip people as best we can in different seasons of life, right? Because sharing the gospel right now specifically might sound a little bit different than it did 20 years ago. So that while the church should be equipping people all the time to share the gospel, the church does not need some program or some process to get more people into pews. Right? What the church really needs is this outflowing plea of starving beggars telling other starving beggars where they have found a feast that never runs out, where they have found a well that never runs dry. Evangelism is just you saying. It's not your, like, these tools aren't going to hurt, mm-hmm. but it's not your Bible knowledge. It's not you knowing how to lead somebody to Christ in three easy steps. It's just you being able to say, I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And it's all because of Jesus, right? That's all it is. And then let him use the way he created you to accomplish that, right? So this statement of, you know, I don't feel equipped, I agree with it in a certain extent, and then the rest of it gets on my daggone nerves, right? It gets on my nerves. And I'll be real with you. I'll be real with you. This is probably my last thing I'm going to say. When people come up and say, I'm going to offend some people. When people come up to their pastors and they say, Pastor, we're praying for you because we know you just have such a hard job and there's so much on you. Do you know what I want to say back? There's so much on me because there's not enough on you. Right?
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, the reason that you were sitting around going, man, he's got all this pressure to teach the gospel and reach people for Jesus is because there's not enough of that on you. I'm not the only one called to reach the gospel. Here, and this is something even more interesting. My calling as a pastor to reach people for the gospel is the same exact calling you have as a Christian to reach people for the gospel. The difference is my calling involves shepherding you. But the call to share the faith, the call to make disciples, the call to reach the gospel, it's a Christian call. It's not a pastor call, right? It's not an evangelist call. You know, I have a calling on my life to shepherd God's people. That is the calling of a pastor, shepherd the people. That involves lots of things. But the calling to make disciples is because I've been bought by Jesus. Your calling to make disciples is because you've been bought by Jesus. It's the same calling. So, you know, yes, be equipped, but quit using these excuses, right? share your story, use how God's made you to be, and just know that all you are is a messy, jacked up person who Jesus has found. And you just tell other messy, jacked up people, which is easy to do, by the way, because it's every human being, that you, this is where you found peace. This is where you found hope. This is where you felt love. This is where joy came for you. This is where, you know, how did you, you know, how did you conquer these things that happened in your life? Jesus.
Yeah.
Just point to Jesus. It's not this difficult thing.
Yeah, you're right.
And while I think that, you know, these 1, 2, 3s and 4, 5, 6s of evangelism are great little things to know, they ain't come into play some. I'll also be real with you that I know all these things. I know the Romans road that you can share and all this stuff, the scripture through Romans that leads you through leading somebody to Christ and all these kind of evangelism tactics. I've only used those things like once in my whole life. Every other thing has just been an individual, private conversation that goes where it goes. And all I'm trying to say in the end is, Jesus is it for me.
Yeah. Right?
And if you share your story, people will listen to your story. They will listen to your story. I have found also that sometimes people will argue back with the scripture that you give or argue back with your, you know, method of becoming a Christ follower, but they won't argue back with your story because your story is your story, right?
Yeah.
Also, we live in a very cool time right now where everybody's validating everybody's story, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
Like your truth, your story.
Yes.
So when you share your story with somebody, even if they're like antagonistic against the gospel, they will listen to your story. And at the end of the day, look, take the pressure off. At the end of the day, you ain't the one changing nobody's life. You ain't the one changing nobody's heart. You ain't the one that's got to convince nobody, right? You're just doing what God told you to do and planting those seeds, and he'll be the one that gives the heart change, right?
True.
And sometimes you see that and sometimes you don't. You just got to trust that it's there. So don't let, yes, be equipped by the tools. Yes, the church should be equipping you, but do not let that be an excuse. Equip yourself and quit complicating this thing, right?
That was powerful.
There's some good little quotes in there. Jonathan's going to have fun with this one.
That was such a powerful episode. Encouraging.
And it comes at a good time. Isn't it funny how God works? Because me and Steph were talking about all kinds of stuff like this. And here we are talking about it on a podcast. And here we are
preaching about it.
And I preached on it yesterday morning. And then I preached on it at youth last night and didn't even know, right? I didn't have time to look at what I was supposed to be teaching in youth until Sunday night. And so when I pulled up the curriculum of what we were teaching, it was this, right? And so God's just good like that. So maybe
he is.
Maybe when you listen to this, it's going to hit at the right time in your life too. That's what we trust. We got another one coming up for you. We got quite a few in this series because there's a lot of excuses or reasons that people give of why they don't share their faith. So anyway, that's all I got on this one. Well, you got anything, Steph? You got anything?
No, I'm just really grateful we did this today. And I think it's really going to encourage a lot of people. It's just simple.
I agree. I think that this whole thing's simple. Like, we could give the answer for every single one of these reasons people don't share the gospel on all of these episodes. Mm-hmm. We could end up giving back to the answer of, it's not that complicated.
Yeah, and you're letting us know that we're not disqualified because we might not look like somebody else or sound like somebody else. Like, he made us the way we are, and we can also point people to Christ.
Yeah. What
That's beautiful.
What qualifies you to share the gospel? It's only one thing.
Jesus.
What qualifies you to share the gospel is that you believe in it.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
That's what qualifies you what qualifies you to sell the gospel to somebody else? That you've bought it. Right? Like you know what I mean? Like that it's personal to you. That's what happens, right? The gospel is not the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus as it applies to you personally. That's the gospel, right? So what qualifies you to share the gospel? The fact that you believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And all the rest of it, all the rest of the things, the tools that you have, your personality, the opportunities that you get, where you're placed at, you know, that's all extra for God to use. But that doesn't qualify you.
True.
Right? That's not the qualifying factors. He uses everybody. Everybody that's bought by him, he uses everybody. It's just how much do you want to be used? You know, are you willing to step out?
That's true. That's the other part of it.
Are you willing to step out, right?
Be open.
Yep.
Anyway, that was so good.
That was a good one.
I was so excited.
I told you this one was going to be good. I was ready for this one.
Well, thank y'all for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week for episode 220.
Yes.
I get it right?
220.
220. All right.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Later.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.